This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome back, listeners. It's been 4 days since the last time we were together. 4 days ago, we celebrated my 10-year anniversary with my wife, and here I am back again to deliver you more goodness for your ears. So for today's episode, I've been quite busy the last few days and haven't had time to prepare as I usually would to have something to talk about. So I got to thinking about what I could talk about that would be different and that I wouldn't have to do a lot of outside preparation for because it's stuff that's already been on my mind. So I have something to, I want to talk about a colorist in particular today. But then on top of that, I reached through my questions from Sparky for the Sparky Demands Answers segment. But I also thought I would like another question from somebody else. I reached out to Martin for a question. He gave me a good one. So we're going to move through those questions. We're going to talk about Matt Hollingsworth. Before that, I haven't read a whole lot these last few days. They've been busy days, but I have been trying to read through some Hoopla stuff as we get towards the end of the month. The one thing that I did read start to finish was Jazz Maynard, which you guys should check out the Best of the Rest podcast to learn more about this. Dennis and Jay over there are the two that recommended this to me. I finally downloaded it, checked it out, and it was a little hard for me to get into it first because right off the bat, it wasn't real enticing. I don't know. There's something about the artwork that it's good art, but it was different. I don't know. It just didn't really draw me in right off the bat. But once I got rolling a little bit, it was real easy to keep going. The creators it's written by Raul. The art is done by Roger. That's what it says in the book. But definitely check it out and check out Best of the Rest to learn more about it. Outside of that, I've still been working on a lot of the different same things. I'm reading Usagi Yojimbo and I'm reading Lone Wolf and Cub on Comixology. I'm currently reading Chrononauts actually on Hoopla, which ties into my Matt Hollingsworth discussion because he's the colorist on Chrononauts. Aside from that, I have still been working on reading G.I. Joe on that I got through a Humble Bundle, and I've been reading Uncanny X-Men on Marvel Unlimited. So you can expect to hear me talk about some of that stuff in the future. But for now, without further ado, let's talk about Matt Hollingsworth. And Matt Hollingsworth was the first time I really realized, outside of Valiant, the effect that a colorist can have on work. Before I kind of made this discovery with seeing the connections between what he did on certain works, within Valiant, two colorists in particular, David Barron and, I'm going to blank on the other guy's name. Well, there's two colorists nonetheless in Valiant that always really caught my attention. And just the books they did, I mean, they were doing most of the coloring work for Valiant for a period of time. And it made the books better. Like, I mean, the job they did coloring, like, really made a big difference. But it was just like, it was still kind of like in this microcosm of my fandom of Valiant. So it didn't really, you know, make a bigger impression on me than that. Outside of that, you know, it's like I got to know the name Jordi Belair just because you started hearing her name everywhere. But Matt Hollingsworth, I realized how much I liked his work when I was drawn to a couple of books that at the time they were newer books, Tokyo Ghost and Seven to Eternity. Seven to Eternity came out a little bit later. So Tokyo Ghost had just kind of caught my attention. It was written by Rick Remender, who I like as a writer. He also wrote Fear Agent, which is a book that I really fell in love with. Nick Wetmore from the Nerdy Legion podcast sent me a few trades of Fear Agent and made me fall in love. The way I read Fear Agent was kind of a weird reading, too, and that's something to talk about on a future date. But so Tokyo Ghost, I knew I liked Rick Remender from Fear Agent, from some other stuff I had read of his. And Sean Murphy did the art. And I think at that point, I hadn't really read much of anything that Sean Murphy had done. So his art was fresher to me at that point than it is now, where he's getting a lot of exposure and for good reason. And then Seven to Eternity comes out, and man, it just looked good. It just looked real good. And it doesn't hurt that Jerome Opeña is doing the art for it, and he's also a very good artist. Rick Remender also wrote Seven to Eternity, so I had that common thread with it, another Remender book. But there was just something else that really stood out to me. And so I'm looking at these two books, I'm thinking, like, why did these catch my attention so much? Because they're like sci-fi fantasy books, and although I have read and enjoyed sci-fi fantasy before that's not like my niche. That's not my, you know, major cup of tea where it's like anything sci-fi fantasy catches my attention. So for me to just really be drawn into these two sci-fi fantasy type books at the same time was a little unusual for me. And then if I finally realized it, that it was Matt Hollingsworth did colors between the two of them. But at that moment, it was kind of like a, oh, well, that's cool, you know. Didn't think a whole lot more about it. Kind of like with the guys over at Valiant, you know, they did good work. And it made, you know, like they were a common thread in the things that I liked. It wasn't until I sat down and I was looking at, I had just gotten the Marvel Omnibus for Hawkeye, written by Matt Fraction, art by David Aja. And I'm reading it, and I'm just like, I knew I loved that book. I had read that book as it was coming out, and it was one of the books that I just absolutely loved. And David Aja's artwork is fantastic, and I absolutely love it. And I'm reading it, and then suddenly I noticed, I just didn't notice it before. And when it was coming out concurrently, like I really wasn't familiar with names in comics at that time. That was when I was still a pretty new comic reader. And I realized that Matt Hollingsworth did the colors for it. And it kind of blew me away. It's like, okay, well, this is totally different than those other books. And then I started noticing his name everywhere. Not only did he do the artwork for that, he did the artwork for Preacher, which is written by Garth Ennis, who I typically don't like. Not always don't like, but like, if I see Garth Ennis's name on a book, I'm going to be a little more skeptical rather than just assuming I'm going to like it. Because I've read more things of his that aren't my cup of tea than that are. And then the art's by Steve Dillon. And I can recognize that Steve Dillon is a good artist, but I don't care for his art. That's just, I don't. It's not bad art by any means. I just don't like it. And I think a big part of it is just the way he depicts, you know, violence, stuff really graphic and gory. It's not always a turnoff for me, but just something with Steve Dillon's art just typically is a turnoff for me. And it's not to say I've never enjoyed anything he's done either. But I had tried reading Preacher before, and I read some of it and kind of hit a wall with it and didn't keep going. I gave it another try, and I picked up a newer version of the graphic novel. So the first graphic novel I read was essentially like two story arcs. Well, the second graphic novel I read was three story arcs because they had repackaged it, re-released it. And so I got a little bit deeper into it. But I'm reading it, and I noticed something. Matt Hollingsworth does the coloring for Preacher. And I realized that that was an impact. And that's one of the reasons that I liked it better than some of the other Ennis and Dillon stuff that I had tried to read before. So it's amazing to me how you cannot notice these things sometimes. And then once you notice them, they're just everywhere. So Matt Hollingsworth, absolutely my favorite colorist, like everything that he does, like he is somebody that I will check out a book if he colors it just because he colored it. And I was looking through his bibliography a little bit, and he's done a lot of different stuff too. So there's a lot of stuff for me to start searching into to see the different works that he's done and the ways that he's influenced. As I mentioned, right now I'm reading Chrononauts, which is written by Mark Millar and in art by Sean Murphy, but it's colored by Hollingsworth, and that's pretty much the reason I decided to read it right at this moment. Is he was on my mind. It was right there on my list of things I wanted to read on Hoopla. So I said, you know what? It's about time to check this out. So anyways, pay attention to all the details of things that you like. And sometimes you'll find an influence that is a common thread between things that'll really help you find more things that you love that you just may not have even noticed. Yeah, another example is like in music, you may find a producer that you really like. You know, anybody who's really into music probably has an idea who Rick Rubin is. And if you look at all the different albums he's done, they're not all the same type of album. So it's like it's easy to notice like this certain genre of music that he's done. But, you know, not only has he been a producer for, you know, a lot of different rap albums, Beastie Boys. I know he produced some Jay-Z. He's also done Johnny Cash. He's done Weezer. He's done all sorts of stuff. So it's always important to, you know, to pay attention to everybody who's an impact on something that you really like, because if you pay attention to those details, you can find so much more that you like too. So that was the main thing that I wanted to talk about. I really love Hollingsworth and a lot of good books to talk about right there. And that got me thinking about Fear Agent. I think that'll be a future episode, is talking about Fear Agent and the funny way I kind of went about reading that. So before I get to Martin's question, which once I got thinking about it, like I actually ended up sitting down and really putting some thought into my answer for that one. I have a question from Sparky in the segment everybody knows and loves. Sparky demands answers. We all know Sparky's demanding. He asks a question. He wants a damn answer. So he asked me what. So we a little backstory. We were talking on Paul and Michael Occasionally Save the World, our podcast, which is to be coming out quite soon. We almost have it already. We have all the details put together, just basically waiting for the technical aspects to get lined up. But anyways, we were talking about Star Wars, and I was talking about my impressions of Star Wars, and I'm not a big Star Wars fan. I don't dislike it, but I don't love it. It's like I can sit and watch it, you know, especially if somebody else wants to, and enjoy it okay. But I've never been in love with it. I was sitting down trying to watch the first released Star Wars movie, so episode 4, right? And you get to the part where Uncle Owen is like telling Luke to go get to work with him. And Luke is whining about wanting to go get some converters, right? And so Sparky asked me, what is Luke going to do with those converters anyways? And I was thinking about it. And you know what? When you really get down and think about it, it doesn't matter what he was going to do with those converters. Luke is just a troublemaker. And, you know, here his aunt and uncle, they took him in. He would have been an orphan otherwise. And all he wants to do is go goof around instead of helping his uncle on the farm. And what does he get for his troubles? He eventually gets his hand cut off. He discovers that his dad's a freak. He commits incestuous acts with his sister. Just terrible, terrible story. When you really think about it, Star Wars is a story of just how terrible the youth of today are and how horribly off track they can get when all they care about is going to get converters. So that's my answer to you, Sparky. Next question. So my question for Martin was a good one. I asked him to just ask me a random question. He had no idea what he was going to ask me. Didn't feed him anything. And he asked me if I could choose any creative team to do a Ninja Turtle book, who would I choose and why would I choose them? And I really got to thinking about this. And the funny thing about this question is I usually hate questions that are any type of fan casting or fan creative teams or whatever. I can't stand that stuff usually. You know, it's like if they're going to make a movie, I don't want to sit and dream about who could play the roles, because then you start to get these ideas in your head. And you know what? You hear other people's ideas and man, a lot of the times they just seem stupid. Not that they necessarily are, but they can really seem that way if they don't align with like your thoughts or I don't know. Some of the criteria people use to make decisions of who should do what can be just flat out dumb too. Same thing with creative teams, you know, like being a Valiant fan. One of the questions that we would get all the time doing the Valiant Central podcast is, you know, if you could choose anybody to do a book, who would you do? I mean, it's a very common question. But the problem is that when you apply a generic question to generically to something, that's what I hate, I think, is just when it's like, let's ask a generic question in a generic way and not make it at all specific enough. It's like for Valiant, my answer was always, oh, if I could have anything I wanted, what about if Jeff Lemire and Matt Kent wrote a book together and oh man, I'm going to blank on his name. I'm not having a good name night right now. But I, you know, talking about The Valiant, I loved The Valiant. That was like a dream book for me. And they got the artist they got, that's the name that I'm blanking on, but I knew him from Daredevil. So when I knew they got him to do the art on the book, I was super excited about it. You know, his dad did the coloring on the book. It just like all around the book was a dream for me from Valiant. And it's absolutely my favorite thing that Valiant's done. And, you know, I couldn't have asked for more. So, you know, fan casting a Valiant book, like, what am I going to ask for? Like, for me, if I talk about what could be the best thing from Valiant, I'm going to think back to what are the best things that were that I loved. And like, I don't need to imagine how it could be better. Those were like the high watermarks for me. But Martin's question was about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And honestly, this kind of made me understand how people can get into this some. Here I am, back again. Sorry about this awkward edit, but I was interrupted in the midst of podcasting. I was needed elsewhere with family duties, and I don't really remember exactly where I was at when I left, so I'm just going to pick back up again, and I just wanted to explain why it may not make much sense why I went away and came back. Anyways, Martin asked me, what creative team would I choose for the Ninja Turtles? And I put a lot of thought into this because being a big Ninja Turtle fan, they're a property that has been touched by many creators. They were kind of designed that way from the beginning where a lot of people had their hands in the first run of the Ninja Turtles, and they've been through quite a bit since then. There's been iterations that have only had Peter Laird's or Kevin Eastman's influence in it, along with other creators. They worked together a lot on the first series, obviously. There was the Image series that neither of them had anything to do with. The current series, Kevin Eastman has always had somewhat of a hand in it. So, you know, and there's been just all sorts of other creators involved in it. So I was thinking about it, and, you know, first I started thinking about who are some of my favorite artists and you know, what I like to see them do a Ninja Turtle book. And so I was thinking, you know, what books are my favorite based on art? You know, like, I love Hellboy, and the art of the book is a big part of the reason, but it's not really like I want to see, you know, fully Mignola drawn Ninja Turtle series. I certainly wouldn't complain if I got it, but you know, it's the kind of thing where it's like, I would like to see his art maybe sometimes, but I don't know. I don't think it would be right to have a whole series of Ninja Turtles with that art. Now, the original series had a very distinct art style, and I think that's why I also like Mignola's art style, is I like those kind of creations that are very distinct in that way. But, you know, Eastman and Laird's art, you know, that they did together was just, you know, it was something real special, just like Mignola's art is, you know, real distinct. So I didn't want somebody like Mignola, you know. Then I was thinking, what about writers? You know, it's like, I have some writers that are my favorites. You know, a couple of them at first I was thinking, like, do I want to shy away from these guys because it's too easy to go to the, you know, the guys I'm reading the most right now. So I was trying to think of other ones, you know, like, I love Neil Gaiman. You know, Sandman is one of my favorite series that I've ever read. But do I really want Neil Gaiman to write a Ninja Turtle book? Would he be right for it? I don't really think so. I mean, the only way that Neil Gaiman would do a Ninja Turtle book, I'm pretty sure, is if he was some kind of huge Ninja Turtle fan. And I kind of doubt that, because I kind of think we would know that by now. So, you know, it's all the, like, big name legendary writers, I wouldn't really want any of them to do it, because if they were big Ninja Turtle fans, we probably would have already seen it. And I don't want somebody that isn't a Ninja Turtle fan to do it when they're that kind of status, because the only reason they'd be doing it if they're a legend in comic books is for money, which that's fine. You know, people need to make money and all, but you don't want a creative genius's phoned in work, you know? So I was thinking about it, and instead of limiting it to one creative team, I wanted to talk about a few different creative teams that I might think would work well for it for different reasons. And then after I talk about these, I'll say who I would probably pick as my number one that I would like to see first if I had to choose between one of these, if it was just up to me. So the first thing I thought of was that, you know, I talked about Matt Hollingsworth on this episode. I would love to see Matt Hollingsworth doing the colors, because I just really admire his work. And, you know, regardless of what he's coloring, it's going to be good. So then I thought, you know, who would he work well with? And I was thinking through different possibilities for people I've seen him do the coloring for their art. But I was also trying to think, like, whose art would I really like to see in a Ninja Turtle book in a way that's, like, sustainable for a whole book, not just one great image that's been done. So I was thinking David Aja. His style, that kind of impressionistic style, would definitely work really well for Ninja Turtles. I've seen Ninja Turtles represented in many different ways through a lot of different books. And I would love a Ninja Turtle series drawn by David Aja. Then I was thinking, okay, who would write this book? And my thought for writing it was Matt Kent. And at first I was kind of shying away from wanting to use Kent as one of my creative people for this, because he is one of my favorite writers, and I've read a lot of his stuff, and it's easy to just, like, oh, he's my favorite, so I'm going to say that he should do it because he's my favorite. But, you know, just like I said, Neil Gaiman's one of my favorites, but I wouldn't want him to do it, because why would he want to do it? You know, would he do his best work with it? So I was thinking, why would Kent be good for it? And I was thinking through the different things he did, because I wouldn't really want a Ninja Turtle book that was like a espionage type book, like a lot of Matt Kent stuff has been. So I was thinking about what other kind of books has he written. And I thought about Unity, that he wrote for Valiant. And Unity, issue one specifically, is really what broke the door down for me being a Valiant fan, because I read that and that made me want to read Exo Man of War, because there's a scene in that where Exo shoots somebody's head through somebody else's chest. And that was just crazy, and it made me want more Exo. So kind of on the back of that, I think that Matt Kent has the versatility to write in a lot of different ways. So I think that he would find the thing that would be right for writing the Ninja Turtles. You know, Ninja Turtles are a balance of action and character, and, you know, you need to have the balance with them for it to be a good book. Like, you can't write a Ninja Turtle book that's just character and no action. You can't write one that's just action and no character. You could have issues like that, but you can't have it just be that
all around, you know? So I think it has the versatility to write it any way that it needs to be written. So now the second art team, I was thinking of a kind of a different art style and a different approach to Ninja Turtles. As I said, character is a big component of it. And another one of my favorite creators, like I'd say Kent and Lemire are my two favorite current modern comic creators. I can pretty much read anything that they do, particularly if it's not done for the big two. Like their indie stuff, their creator-owned stuff is the best in my opinion. But Lemire is so good at drawing the heart out of characters. And there's so much heart in Ninja Turtles, in all the different characters. You know, they're like each of the four turtles themselves have very different motivations in what they do. Splinter has a very different motivation. April has very different motivation. There's like so many different stories you could tell there if you're really getting into what's driving the character. And that's just like the main good guys. Then you get into the main bad guys, and there's so much that can be told there. One of the things that I love about Ninja Turtles is how great some of the fringe characters can be, let alone for character design, but just for, you know, the details of who they are. I talked about before that Old Hob is not one of my favorite Ninja Turtle characters, but I think if Old Hob was really like fleshed out and developed more from who he is and what drives him, they could develop his character a lot more than he could be a very good character. So as far as artists for, who would work with Ken on this, I was looking through different artists that I like. You know, I like art styles that are kind of distinct and different, and Ninja Turtles has a lot of different vibes it can come off with. And I was thinking, you know what, Roberto De La Torre, who did the Dr. Mirage books for Valiant, would be really interesting to see on Ninja Turtles. You know, his art style is that kind of darker, kind of muddied art style. And if he's going to do it, David Barron, one of my favorite colorists for Valiant, Brian Reber, that's the other guy, by the way. I totally blanked on his name earlier, but Brian Reber is the other colorist for Valiant that he and David Barron were doing most of the books for a while, it seemed like. You knew when they were on a book because it was just top notch. But he colored De La Torre's work in Dr. Mirage, and it just was so good. You know, the color worked so well with the art, and it worked so well with the kind of story that they were telling. So I think Lemire writing a Ninja Turtle story from that kind of perspective, that would just be a great team. And then I was thinking, you know, the other side of the coin with the Ninja Turtles is the action. And one of the things that I would love to see is action that's not like, not over the top, but more graphic. You know, one of the problems with the IDW series is there's a lot of marketing that goes on with the Ninja Turtles. You know, there's a cartoon and toys and all kinds of stuff. So, like, they keep it from getting too out of hand in what they depict in the comic book. And that's not to say that they, like, you know, keep it totally, like, G-rated or anything. Man, I want to see some, like, just real nasty Ninja Turtle action. I mean, man, these are, you know, ninjas and samurais and monsters fighting, and you know, there's all sorts of deadly weapons going on around here, let alone, you know, claws and fangs and just all kinds of crazy stuff going on. And I was thinking, who does that really well? Like, who writes really good violent action? And I was flipping through all the books I've purchased on Comixology, seeing who would pop out to me. And then I came across Lone Wolf and Cub, and Kazuo Koike, who wrote Lone Wolf and Cub. And one of the things I love about Lone Wolf and Cub is the way the action is depicted, like not just in the form of art, but in the way the story is told. And his storytelling with action is just so good because Lone Wolf and Cub is such a violent book. It's a book about an assassin, and like not just an assassin, but an assassin who his toddler son is on this journey of being an assassin with him. And he, you know, fully utilizes everything he can to do his job as an assassin. So, you know, if I wanted a really good, violent Ninja Turtle book, if it was written by Koike, it would do that. It would be good. And in pairing him with another creative team that I loved, you know, I was thinking of colorists I love, Hollingsworth, David Barron. And there was another one that came to mind that's a creative team. They did Secret Weapons together. They did Wrath of the Eternal Warrior together. Raul Ellen and Patricia Martin. I loved their work on Secret Weapons. And I knew Raul Ellen worked on Wrath of the Eternal Warrior, but I didn't realize his wife, Patricia, did as well. Because when that book was released, they focused on his name, not so much on her name. Like, I think she might have got credit as a colorist, but seeing what they do, they kind of work a lot more hand in hand than that, I believe. The thing that really caught my attention with them, like, you know, I knew Raul Ellen's work, but Dinesh, a while back had tweeted a picture of them doing a commission together at the same time. So they're both drawing on the same piece of paper at the same time doing this picture together. I thought that was awesome. But yeah, their work together on Secret Weapons was fantastic. Their work together on Wrath of the Eternal Warrior. And one of the things I liked about Wrath of the Eternal Warrior is when there was action and violence, it was depicted really well. It was not graphic, but like, it was clear that there was some really violent things going on when, you know, Eternal Warrior is chopping people up with his axe, or crazy inventions are coming out to kill him and all kinds of stuff like that. So those are the three creative teams I thought of that could do really awesome, crazy things with Ninja Turtles that just be a total dream to me. And, you know, odds are I will never see any of those people work on a Ninja Turtle book, but, you know, I would love to see it. If I had to choose one that'd be the biggest dream to do it, I would say it would probably be, I'm really torn. I'm going to go with the Lemire team, because I think that if he had a chance to do that book, if he wanted to do that book, that he could take the characters so much further. You know, they have, like, so many of the characters have so much story to them already, but I think that he could add more layers to the characters than have ever been added to them. So it would create even more for the future to grow off of with the Ninja Turtle characters. I think if he got a chance to get his hands on it, that some characters that are really fringe and never really got developed, that they're just kind of there, would probably end up being much more critical characters down the road. You know, kind of like you look at you know, what Matt Fraction did with Hawkeye, how he was always kind of a secondary character, and then when Matt Fraction got his hands on it and was able to do what he wanted to with Hawkeye, you know, it became something really special. And now Hawkeye has a more special place in comics than he had before. You know, Tom King with the Vision is probably another good example of that, where, you know, that Vision series he did was just something special and something different and really added a lot to that character. So that's my ideas for Ninja Turtle creative teams. Tweet me at Who's Paul. Let me know who you would choose to do a Ninja Turtle book, if you're so inclined to choose that. Otherwise, just let me know what is your favorite thing and who would you like to see do that thing. So yeah, find me on Twitter at Who's Paul. Check out my other podcast coming out soon, Paul and Michael Occasionally Save the World. You can also tweet us at Occasionally STW is our Twitter handle for that podcast. So no, you haven't heard it yet, but once you do, give us a tweet. Let us know what you think. Check that one out. Check out Best of the Rest. Listen to Dennis and Jay. They definitely check out a lot of things that you may not have heard of, and they'll have a lot of good things to recommend there. Check out Martin on Comic Talk Today. I miss recording with him on a regular basis, but at least we can still influence each other. So until next time, lots of podcasts to check out to get to work on that. And next time, maybe we'll talk about some Fear Agent.
What goes up must come down.
But not me, clown. I cut him. Crack the speaker when I'm pumping. So jump in and watch your ears start humming through the block. And don't forget to boom shock, shock a lot.
Well, them do it all. Can I rock?